How do I get more grazing days? That's one of the things that we'll talk about today on Diving Into Diets. I'm Brad White, joined today by Dr. Philip Lancaster. Morning, Philip.
Morning, Brad.
So I started out with how we're going to get more grazing days, but really we're talking about how to be efficient with the forage that we have available. And I want to have you kind of outline for us some key metrics as we think about grazing. And how do we manage that grazing season so that we balance properly utilizing the forage that's out there with, I don't want to overgraze or have problems when it comes to next year, because it's a long-term cycle. So let's start out by defining, I'm going to start with one term that I just used, forage utilization. Mm-hmm. Maybe tell me how you'd define that.
So, just to back up one step, you said grazing days. Well, the forage utilization and harvest efficiency and some of these terms we're going to talk about, by maximizing those, that's how we're going to increase grazing days, because we're going to be able to get more of the forage that is produced into the mouth of the cow. And so we're going to be able to get more grazing days out of that pasture.
And the reason that's important is because we know that one of the largest variable costs for cattle production, especially on the cow-calf side, is feed and providing especially stored forages like hay for our cows through the winter. So if I can decrease that by 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, it makes a huge difference in my bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. So you said forage utilization. Forage utilization is a metric that we use to evaluate how much of the standing forage out there was used. Okay, not necessarily consumed, but used. And so used includes everything from actually being consumed by the animal to also being trampled by hooves to being defecated on, so then the animals won't eat it. Trampled and where they loaf and bed down and all of that stuff. So basically, it's all the forage that is no longer standing and able to be consumed. It's been used in some form or function.
So actually, forage utilization may not be the metric I want if I'm thinking about grazing days, because I don't, if they trample it, it didn't help me nutritionally. How do I measure forage utilization?
That's a very good question. And scientists have been trying to figure out how to do that very accurately for a long time. It's kind of an estimate of looking at how much was there to begin with and how much is remaining after cattle have grazed through a pasture or paddock, and looking at how much is the difference then between what was there when they started and what was there at the end. You could, from a producer's perspective, you're probably not going to go out there with what we call a forage square and clip it and weigh it and know how much was there before and after. But you're going to look with your eyeball and you're going to learn over time how to judge how much was actually utilized or by those cattle while they were in that pasture.
Often I've done that by height. Are you just talking height? Because when I do it by height and you try to pick, and everybody says, well, pick a representative sample. And I'm like, show me a pasture that has a representative sample somewhere. Uh-huh. And you do a couple different locations, but in no way does that help me, or maybe I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to account for trampling and bedding areas and laying down. I really don't know how to include that in my calculation. I just look at height.
Yeah, so height is a good proxy for the most part. You're right, pastures are not uniform. So pick a representative area. Well, okay, there is no representative area because it's very heterogeneous across the pasture.
But I know where it's not. It's not by the gate, which is usually where I am and where I want to take the sample.
Yeah. Looking, trampled and things like that, we can tell a little bit because, again, it's not standing, so height makes a difference. But then from actual poundage, and if you've got multiple species in the pasture, that can make a difference. But density of the coverage or the coverage area of grass. So how much bare ground is there? And so height can be somewhat deceiving when you look from one forage to another because you've got different types of grasses. You've got different growth patterns of grasses and how much bare ground there is. Height doesn't give you that estimate of density of the forage. So that's just something to keep in mind. And so if you're looking at the same type of grass in the same pasture year after year, you can kind of get a good judge from your observations of how much has been utilized. And it's not, like I said, it's not extremely precise, but it is good enough to give you a ballpark figure of what's happening. One of the other ones that we use or we think about, and this gets more into the consumption part, is harvest efficiency. And so harvest efficiency is of that total forage that was consumed, or of that total forage that is produced, what proportion is actually consumed by the animal, right? And this becomes a lot more difficult to try to estimate, because now you have to separate out the utilization into what was consumed and what was trampled and those types of things. But we do know from research that some of our cattle management techniques affect the proportion that was actually consumed versus just trampled and things like that. And so there's a third metric that is used sometimes called grazing efficiency, and that's the proportion of the forage that is consumed out of the proportion that was utilized. Okay, so in this case, we're excluding the part that is still standing and still available to be consumed or used. We're only looking at the proportion that was used and how much of that was actually consumed by the cattle.
I'm wondering how I'm going to calculate those. So the I went back to what we said earlier for my forage utilization in general. I'm kind of ballparking there based on height. And then there are some different metrics that I can use to say, based on this stand density and this type of forage, I'd expect this much dry matter per inch of height, right? I could look some of those numbers up and I can say, okay, well, they got this much dry matter over this period of time. Or I might be able to back into it a little bit by saying the cows were out there for this long and cows eat this much and here's how long they were there. I don't know how I'm going to get to like the graze, because grazing efficiency is really what I care about. Of what's gone, how much did the cows eat? How do I get to that number?
I don't know that you're going to get to that number very easily from a producer's perspective. But that's terms that's used out there. And so it's being aware of those terms. The number that you probably need to focus the most on from a pasture management perspective is the utilization, because we focus on that utilization number as a way of determining overgrazing and undergrazing. And so when we use that number, and that's one that I can pretty well visually assess to know whether I've overgrazed a particular type of forage or not. So like a good rule of thumb used in native range situations is 50% utilization. So I want to use 50%, and there should be 50% remaining at the end of the grazing season so that I'm not stressing those plants too much, and I will have a good vigorous forage stand the next year. And so that's one that I can kind of ballpark. The other ones, we know from research, and different grazing management practices affect those. So if we go from, take an example of continuous grazing where we turn the cows out to the whole pasture, okay, that type of grazing generally has the lowest level of utilization, the lowest harvest efficiency, and the lowest grazing efficiency, because those animals can pick and choose and they tend to trample a lot more or a higher proportion than they actually consume. But when we start to do more in management intensive grazing and move into smaller paddocks and moving cattle more frequently, that those numbers start to go up. So the utilization starts to go up, the harvest and grazing efficiency start to go up. So we're using a higher proportion of it, and a higher proportion of what we use is actually being consumed. And so that's where we start to increase the number of grazing days, is when we start to increase the management intensity of that grazing pattern and grazing methods. And we can take that to a fairly high extreme, where we can have a pretty high proportion of what is actually is of what is used actually being consumed. The more intense we make that, the more we can actually get consumed, but also your trade-off is the more labor and resources that have to go into managing that grazing.
Awesome. Good information there. Leads me to a lot of questions. So I've got questions for you. The first of which being, you said over or under grazing. In my experience, overgrazing is way more common than undergrazing. And a lot of that stocking rate differences in areas. And I think probably undergrazing, most of us could visualize, right? I've got a lot of forage out there that wasn't used. Overgrazing, you said, you gave the example of 50% left for some native pastures. Are you saying at the end of a grazing period, at the end of the grazing season? Are you kind of dividing that up, saying if it gets to 50%, I should pull them off? Or give me more information around that.
So that has generally been used as far as the grazing season, because we are generally, that's been used in a continuous grazing type of situation. From a more management intensive grazing situation, I can work with that a little bit, in that I can have higher utilization probably earlier in the grazing season in each individual paddock, because then I can give those paddocks more time to regrow and still achieve a 50% utilization by the end of the grazing season. So I can vary that some, and I can, but I can still go too far, where that if I utilize too much early on, I will stunt the plant to where it doesn't recover very fast after that grazing, and you don't get a good regrowth and as much production. So there is balance there, that I don't want to overgraze even in an individual grazing period.
So it also depends when that plant's growing season is relative to my rotation. So if you're talking about warm season grasses, I can graze them, move off, and maybe come back again if I need to throughout the growing season. But if I'm in September, October, and I've got warm season grasses in this part of the country, it doesn't matter if I move off now, I'm not coming back again. They're done growing.
Yeah, You know, so fescue is a good example, because it grows really fast early on in the year. So in, you know, May, well, depending on where you are, I'm going to say May and June, but then it doesn't grow so well in July and August when it gets really hot. And so I actually want to graze it fairly hard early on in the grazing season and get a lot of utilization out of the high quality, but then I've got to give it longer rest periods and leave more leaf area during those hot times of the year so that it will regrow and be able to maintain plant vigor during that basically heat stress on that plant during those hot times of the year.
Well, and that's another area where you talked about leaving 50% behind. 50% all depends where you start, but in things like fescue, you want to leave enough of the plant behind, but it may not be 50%.
No, that number depends on the type of forage that you're using. That 50% number comes from a lot of work that's been done in native range, tall grass, prairie type of grazing systems. Are what we call introduced forages. So Bermuda grass would be a warm season one, but fescue or brome being cool season ones. I can have a higher level of utilization of those forages without having the same detrimental effects on plant vigor and stand persistence. And so that number of optimal utilization for the whole growing season depends on the type of forage that you're grazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when we think about those grazing pastures, one of the other areas is, we talked about heterogeneity of the pasture itself, but I may have spots I want them to graze. How do I get them to graze? And let's just assume it's not just weeds, right? Mm-hmm. I want them to graze more spots. How do I get them there?
Well, so there's several different techniques and to get cattle to basically change cattle behavior. One of the big ones is we use fences, you know, and we put cross fences to get them to graze different parts of the pasture different times, or when we want to, or force them to graze parts that they don't normally graze as well. Another one is to have water sources, different parts of the pasture, because so that they are close to a water source and they tend to graze that area around the water source to a greater extent than they do other parts of the pasture. And so we can do things like that. Other things are moving feed bunks or mineral blocks and mineral sources to different parts of the pasture so that they spend more time in different parts of the pasture. But that brings me up to another thought that I had when you talked about overgrazing and utilization. Overgrazing can be, I'll say, spot specific within a pasture. It may have different parts of the pasture that produce different levels or different amounts of forages based on different soil types or water holding capacity and things like that. And so I might, if by using a pasture the same as I, one pasture the same as I do all my others, I may overgraze it where I'm grazing the rest of my pastures just right. And so I need to pay attention to each specific pasture as far as the utilization goes.
Yeah, and that leads to my next question relative to overgrazing is, let's say I've got some of those areas that have been overgrazed, or maybe I've got an entire pasture or paddock that got overgrazed for whatever reason. And now I'm seeing an increase in weeds, and I've started this vicious cycle to where the grass that I want there has been kind of beat back. The things I don't want are taken over, and I can't seem to flip it around. How do I get that flipped back into a pasture that'll be more useful?
It's going to take some work and some specific management in that particular area. So probably using several different approaches. One, herbicides to try to control the weeds, helps control the weeds. Another way to help control the weeds is competition. So I with other plants. And so I want the grass to be able to outcompete the weeds. So the herbicide knocks the weeds back. But then my other angle is to increase the competitive advantage of the grass. And so one way to do that is fertilizer. And then another way is to not graze it as heavily so that it maintains more leaf area at the end of the grazing period. And then it is more vigorous and it has more ability to shade out and outcompete the weeds. And so managing the grazing, fertilizer, and herbicide are three management things that I can do to try to give those the grass a competitive advantage over the weeds.
And everything that we've talked thus far, we've talked about different grass types, different areas. Tell me a little bit your thoughts on, does if I have a monoculture versus a very diverse forage base, does that make any difference in this grazing discussion or utilization discussion?
Yes, it does. So from a big picture perspective, monocultures are much easier to manage.
Yeah, because then I can do a herbicide for everything but what I want to live.
Yep, exactly. And also, cattle have one choice when they're out there grazing. If I have the example would be native prairie, and I've got several different forage species out there, plus forbs, plus other things out there. Cattle have a choice, and they tend to select what they like the best, the most. And so, what
same as any of us?
Yeah, and so they are going to spend more time eating the things they like, and so those plants get grazed off more frequently, and that actually reduces the plant vigor and makes it more difficult to keep those types or those plant species in the mix. And so my management has to, when I look at utilization, for instance, I want to actually pay attention to utilization of those preferred species so that I'm not overutilizing those too much and I'm actually grazing those out, and the persistence of those species is not as good as I need it to be.
So I can't just look at height in some of those scenarios, because if I'm measuring height of something the cattle don't want to eat, even though it's edible, I may end up with kind of spot overgrazing or species overgrazing rather than just the whole pasture. So I really, really kind of have to have a picture of what's going on, which means I got to walk around. I can't just do this from the truck, from the roadside, from the fence line. I got to go walk through those pastures and see what's happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It takes those those pastures that have multiple species of plants in them takes another level of grazing management to keep those that multi-species pasture functional.
Excellent. Very, very good discussion here relative to grazing, grazing time. How do I manage that forage utilization? You talked about harvest and grazing efficiency, and those are key numbers. And that might be something that I want to start a logbook, right? I want to track this because when we talk about grazing management, it tracks over time. All of this discussion ties in very well with, you've done a lot of work on the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, and one of the key metrics for cow-calf operations is having a grazing plan. Mm-hmm. So can you briefly tell me what is in a grazing plan?
So a grazing plan is more than just how you're going to move cattle around. So a grazing plan includes an evaluation of the grazing resources on your ranch. So what's the amount of forage production? What are your water sources around the ranch? And it includes, what's your plan for drought? And then what everybody typically thinks about starting off is then the movement of cattle and how I'm going to subdivide the land into different grazing paddocks and stuff. So a grazing management plan is all of those aspects around grazing, not just how I'm going to move cattle around. And so you got to sit down and holistically think about your forage production and utilization to be effective at utilizing that the most efficient way.
So all these ideas that we've talked about today are actually embedded in that grazing plan. Mm-hmm. So if you incorporate those, and many of us have a grazing plan, I'll say in air quotes, because it's in our heads, right? We haven't mm-hmm. written it out, which means it's very hard to track year to year. And little things like, when did I pull the cattle out? When did I put them on? How much did that vary year to year? I would encourage you to write some of those things down. I'm trying to better train myself on doing some of those things, mm-hmm. but very helpful information. Any last thoughts on grazing days, grazing management, Phil?
Well, I think that the thing is, like you just mentioned, to try to track what you're doing and be able to evaluate how well it worked year after year. And maybe even keeping track of what were the weather conditions like for that year, so then you can tie together that, okay, that when I have years that start to look like this, here's what I'm expecting at the end of the grazing season, and here's maybe how I could change that management plan to end up with a better outcome at the end of the grazing season.
Absolutely. I appreciate your thoughts today, and thanks for joining us, Philip.
Thank you.